Welcome to the Court Report. I'm Jerry Price. I'm here with Princeton women's basketball coach Courtney Banghart. And coach, congratulations on the Ivy Tournament Championship and the upcoming trip to the NCAA Tournament.
Thank you so much.
So we got a lot to talk about because we could talk about the tournament. We could talk about Kentucky, your opponent in the NCAAs on Saturday at 11 a.m. in Raleigh, North Carolina. Second straight year you're going to Raleigh. We could talk about some of the historical significance, but let's start with last weekend in New Haven. Last week we talked about, you know, I didn't want to say on the podcast that I thought Princeton was going to beat Cornell easily, but I thought Princeton was going to beat Cornell easily and did. I didn't think Harvard and Penn was going to go the way it did. What was the value to you of having such a one-sided semifinal game? You were able to get all your players out early. Did that end up mattering at all?
You know, I think it's always good when you get an opportunity to get everybody who plays so hard every day to have an opportunity to play on the floor in a tournament environment. So I was really thrilled that we were able to do that and people were all able to contribute. Now, that's always fun.
What about from a standpoint of having to turn it around so fast and play the next day?
You know, typically, like what you said, I wasn't sure that game was going to be so lopsided. So I didn't actually prep for either Harvard or Penn because they're so different. So we spent all week just on Cornell, which had we known the result was going to be so lopsided, we would have spent some time preparing differently, probably, and knowing. So fortunately, anytime you can rest your main guys, they should have a little more energy, especially late in the year.
And Penn was able to do the same thing.
Yeah.
You had the little bit of a less turnaround. Now, in the Ivy League, obviously, teams are used to playing Friday, Saturday, but you're also used to having 24, 23 hours between start times. We're here. The games on Saturday were your game was 6, Penn's was 8:30, and then the championship game was at 4. So does that even matter in terms of fatigue at the end of the game?
They're probably too close. I had our team watch the first half and then went back to the hotel. So probably more so for the coaching staff because it's just it made for a very long night.
So the championship game against Penn, the tournament championship game against Penn, clearly – the two best teams in the league, co-champions, you know, that's 10 years in a row that one or the other has won, or both. But in the championship game, the first three quarters were it was unfolding exactly the way Penn wants it to. It was a grinded out type of game, low scoring. Each possession was, you know, there weren't a lot of fast breaks or anything like that. And you had a lead, they had a lead. Looked like they were more in control than you were. What were you thinking as you get to the end of the third quarter?
Yeah, they're a really good team, and we knew that. And we knew that all of our pieces were going to have to contribute. Sydney Jordan was in foul trouble. I had said to Julia at one point in the third quarter, like when she attempted that reverse layup, I said, you know, this game needs your fearlessness on offense. And so stay fearless. And obviously making a big shot helped. You know, I knew it was going to be a possession game. We can go either way. When you have a warrior point guard like Carly and you have the best player in the league, that should give you some optimism, and it did.
So, Carly, we'll start with Carly. So, Carly has no points in the first half, 13 in the second half, and all 13 came late third and into the fourth. Her confidence didn't appear to waver at any point in time. Did you have to say anything to her to get her going?
Oh, yeah. We said a lot to Carly. Yeah. At halftime, at quarters, the very first media timeout, same thing. I mean, you know, Carly is a critical piece and offensively as well as defensively. I don't think she was engaged enough on either end. And I think so what I told her at halftime was the energy and inspiration you bring to your teammates if you're not feeling it tonight is as important. So play with your heart on your sleeve a little bit more. Celebrate and urge on the court a little bit more, and hopefully that will also rile you up. And it did. And thank God, because it would have been a tough win without her.
So that game is now close in the fourth quarter. Penn gets a basket with 6:28 to go, does not get another basket the rest of the way. What did you sense that was about to happen? You said on TV afterwards that in the game at the Palestra, you held them to one fourth quarter basket, tried to do better. This time you equaled it one fourth quarter
it's
basket.
It's crazy. Yeah, you know, Carrie was watching the defensive side of the ball, and she was sort of on that, and we were trying to really stick to our defensive assignment. The kids were really urged in. You know, you see the finish line. You see 10 minutes left. And this is all you got. You know, and I said before the game, when you have moments like this in your life, You want to make sure that there's no regrets, and what you can control is your effort and your lock-in, and you know, your effort mentally and physically. And so I just kind of kept going back to that. But and the crowd was huge. I don't know if you could see that on TV, but our fans were so vocal. It made it feel like a home game. I give so much credit to our fans. We had some football guys there. We had obviously most of our parents were there, parent group, and they were loud and eager. And you know, I went to the Legends event before the men's game on Saturday, and same thing, you know, Princeton really loves basketball, and to see so many people love basketball on the big stage was really cool, and they helped us through that game for sure.
So we got one email from somebody who said to remind you that at one of the podcasts earlier in the year you said that we will hear from Julia Cunningham before the year is over.
Yeah,
the key play of the whole game was Princeton's up three. Back-to-back three-second calls. By the way, each team got called for 3 seconds. How many three-second calls were there all year?
I mean, two.
Right, those two, right?
I mean.
And they were back-to-back, and I think it was – as I was watching the game, I'm like, you know, Penn's in the lane, and then they called 3 seconds. But
Grace is never in the lane. It's
kind of a ticky-tack thing to call in that situation, but I was shocked that they called it because she wasn't camped in the Penn player wasn't camped in the lane, but her foot might have been on the line. And then to come down the other side and have the same exact thing happen.
Yeah.
So it gives the ball back to Penn. And if I remember this correctly, then Bella makes the steal.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come down to this end. And now the pass goes into Bella.
It's from Rush, from like almost over half court. It was such a great pass.
It's a three-point game. There's a little more than 2 minutes to go. So it's one possession, a little more than 2 minutes to go. Bella catches the ball. One player on her. Two now come to swarm to her. And without even hesitating, she gets it out to the perimeter to Julia Cunningham, who's wide open, and that shot was going in before Julia Cunningham ever caught the ball. Like, it's just one of those situations where you know that one's going in.
Yeah.
And, you know, really, that was it. And I was struck by the idea that Bella caught it and immediately got rid of it. Mm-hmm. She's not thinking, I'm going to force this up. I'm not going to go to the basket.
It's unbelievable.
And then Julia Cunningham, you know, going into the game, probably is thinking to herself, with 2 minutes to go in a three-point game, I'm on the side cheering. And mm-hmm. here she is hitting the big shot. So mm-hmm. it says a lot about both of them.
Yeah, especially in the Yale game when Carly fouled out, Julia was hugely important. You know, she's put a lot of time in. Local kid, I've been watching her play basketball. She came to my Tiger camp back when she was in sixth grade, so I've been on her for a long time.
Did you think of that sequence?
I love the pass from. So we wanted to get the ball. Obviously, it should touch as the game gets closer. The ball needs to be in Bella's hands. So Rush's fearlessness in terms of in lock in. She was locked in on both ends. She was jump stopping. She was feeding the post. She was defending. She was chasing. But that pass from her to Bella was so great, and Bella absorbs. She absorbs the contact and she absorbs where the doubles and triples are coming from. It's a gift, right? And she's so selfless. Like, she's just so selfless. She really does want the best shot. And a part of her maturity is understanding that her shot is the best shot. But in that particular situation, like you said, there was going to be a triple team in no time. So it's a perfect Princeton basketball. Share the ball, shoot it.
And so with the win, the celebration, you know, it ended up being an 11-point game. Gabrielle Rush had a big game. Now the selection show is going to be Monday night at 7:00, mm-hmm. and you're all ready to have a party in Jadwin Gym, mm-hmm. and the selection show is going to be on the video board, and all of a sudden it gets leaked early mm-hmm. on ESPNU, and all of a sudden the selection show gets moved up from 7 to 5. Sort of takes a little bit of the steam out of the event, even though Princeton was still on the show, they mm-hmm. still got showcased. What do you take away from that whole thing of the
mistakes? You know, mistakes happen.
I hope nobody got fired over that.
I know, right? People were like just hammering ESPN on social media.
I could just picture it. What happened? Like somebody's like, how did this happen? Not my fault. It's their fault. Not my fault. It's his fault. Her fault. Not my fault.
Yeah, totally. Shoot. I'll take the bullet. You know, I don't think it was because it's women's basketball, not men's. I think it was just an honest mistake that there's so many details going through the wires this time of year. I feel bad because it happened very quickly. And so had we known that they were also going to air it at 7, we would have just kept everything as it was. But we didn't know that, and we wanted our kids to be able to view where we were going and in that way. So our kids were racing down. And
did they all know by then what it was or not?
I don't know. I didn't have time to. I mean, literally.
When did you find out?
On my drive in.
So somebody texted you and
said, someone on my staff, yeah. So I had, I mean, literally while I was already in my seat, Rush didn't even make it back, make it down in time. Bella was running into her seat when it was announced. So like it was just, it was quick, but it was awesome. I give so much credit to our own department. People really rallied and they showed up, and it was still a really fun event.
And, you know, the selection show is a nice thing and it's a big part of it, but now you know who you play, and the bigger thing is the game and the opponent. So let's start first with the venue.
Yeah.
Same place as last
Great
year.
Great place, yeah.
Happy about that?
Yeah, same hotel.
And also happy not to have to play Maryland.
I know, yeah. Maryland was so good. I'm tired of playing Maryland. We are in the same hotel that the NCAA assigns. We're in the same gym, literally than a year ago. So all but our, you know, actually our six freshmen won't, and our three new staff. But yeah, there's a comfort to that. It's easy to get to for our fans. I know we already have a handful of fans already flying in. So
Kentucky's the opponent out of the SEC, number 17 team in the country. Some interesting things. 9 of the last 10 years, Kentucky has been in the NCAA tournament, but the one they weren't was last year. This where they're 15 and 17 a year ago. This is a team that had been a top 4 seed every year it had been in the NCAA tournament since 2006. Now a 6 seed or the 11 seed. They have the national freshman of the year, 6'2" guard, makes a lot of threes, 17 points and 7 rebounds a game. Just very preliminarily, I guess, but what have you seen from Kentucky? The other thing that leaps out at me when you look at Kentucky stats is they are not a great rebounding team. They are not a great field goal percentage defense team, but they're a great pressure team.
Yeah.
And so just looking at their stats, and I have never seen Kentucky women's basketball, I'm assuming they press.
Yes.
And they cause a lot of turnovers.
Trap ball screens, press, they'll run and jump, they'll zone press, they'll ball control's key. If we can control the ball. So what happens is if you can control the ball, you get a really good shot. That's why their field goal percentage defense is
not
where.
It's not terrible. It's just, it's you know, their scoring defense is outstanding. And they're one of the top teams in the country in causing, they're in the top 10 nationally in causing turnovers and in assist to turnover ratio.
Yeah, we'll have to do a good, we'll have to control the ball, you know, and we'll have to meet that moment. And then defensively, they're going to run, offensively, they're going to run a lot of ball screens. Defensively, we're going to have to be solid and lock into how we want to play. And when we lock in, literally, obviously getting Bella back was helpful, but we've just gotten so much better by just kind of piece by piece putting together this team, this particular team, and we've got 4 more days to continue to get better.
What about the freshman from Kentucky? What have you seen from her?
Oh, she's just a dynamic athlete. She makes shots. She can create her own. She's a good finisher in terms of at all three layers, both at the rim, at the midline, and at the three-point arc. She's dynamic in that way. And freshmen have a swag. You know, they don't know what they don't know yet. So she's going to be a key matchup, and she won't surprise us.
So also the idea of playing Kentucky, when you see the name Kentucky in basketball, you immediately gets your attention. But it's it's a team Princeton's never played before, so there has to be something sort of special about a brand new opponent and an opponent with that name.
Yeah, very much. You know, and it's you always want people. You don't care as much where you play; you care about who you're playing. When you get to the NCAA tournament, I know when my first year I got into it, I was excited to be in Florida. Boy, you can tell the growth of our program that I could care less where this game is. I just care who we're playing. And
do you know their coach at all? Or
I do. I know Matthew Mitchell well. Yep, I know him well, and he's, you know, like you said, he's had sustained success, which is important and it's admirable.
I wonder what it's like, you know, to be the women's team at Kentucky. You know, that's the standard that is set by the men's program, and you want to build a program that's, you know, similar in as many ways as possible. And you know, you're still wearing the same Kentucky on the front of their shirts.
Yeah, it's a school. I feel like it's like Princeton. These are two basketball schools. No offense to any other sports that we have. There's a sort of unrivaled excellence for sure. But these are two schools that care a whole lot about basketball. And so it's a great matchup.
So let's talk a little bit about the historical significance of this. This is the 27th NCAA tournament appearance for the Ivy League in women's basketball. This is your 12th. So it's 8 as a head coach, 2 as an assistant coach at Dartmouth, and 2 as a player at Dartmouth. Do you remember the emotions of the first time you went?
For sure.
And how different they are now, or are they the same?
Oh, man, it's so different. You go in as a player.
Well, I mean, you're being a player and a coach and all that. But I mean,
that part is so different. No, but it's like Christmas. You know, even now that Christmas morning is all about my children, there's excitement to sharing a cool moment that matters with other people. And the NCAA tournament matters, and it's cool, and I'm sharing it with really good people. So it's always special.
Also, it's 8 NCAA tournaments in 10 years for Princeton.
That is crazy.
So there's no other women's team that's ever done 8 in 10 years. Actually, no other women's team that's ever been in the NCAA tournament 8 times ever, period.
Oh, really? In the Ivy League?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Let alone 8 and 10.
So we've been – I love it. So that means Princeton women have been in the NCAA tournament the most of anybody. That's tweetable. Well,
it
good scoop.
Tweetable.
I'll get that out.
Bloggable, too.
It is bloggable. I had no idea. That's awesome.
You got to read my blog more. It's in the blog.
I read your blog today.
It's in there.
Did it say that?
I believe so. Yeah.
I don't think it did. There were a lot of good facts in there.
That might be for the next one, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I don't think it was in today's. Today's was good.
No, you're right. It hasn't been, because I just looked that up today. The other thing is, on the men's side, it's only happened once. Penn from 1970 to 1980, so that's 11 years, even though it seems like 10. It's 11 seasons, and they went 9 times, and it's the only time it's ever happened on the men's side. And then you are also the only person to play in the NCAA tournament from an Ivy League school and coach in the NCAA tournament as the head coach from an Ivy League school.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I've got a lot of Ivy roots.
There's not a lot of Ivy League coaches who've coached in the NCAA tournament, because mm-hmm. for a long time it was Chris Wielgus, who was your coach. Mm-hmm. It's Kathy Delaney Smith. It's a couple of people from Penn, mm-hmm. none of whom were Ivy League grads. Mm-hmm. And then Dana Smith went once, mm-hmm. and Brown went in 1994, and that's basically the history of Ivy League.
Wow.
Women's basketball in the NCAA tournament, but still to be a player and a coach in the NCAA is pretty unique. And I haven't found anybody on the men's side who did that.
Who's played in it and coached in it? What about Mitch?
Mitch.
How about that?
One guy I forgot.
Our own coach, yeah.
Yes, Mitch Henderson, actually.
What about
and Sydney?
Sydney Jordan, Sydney Johnson.
I actually didn't look at Princeton. I looked at all the other schools.
Oh, God, yeah, it's always Princeton, right? You can think. Did Craig Robinson ever coach in the NCAA tournament?
No.
Okay.
And I was thinking from the Ivy League. I didn't think of Mitch and Sydney.
I never stumped Jerry. You guys, this is a huge podcast moment.
And I was thinking, like, John Thompson didn't do it. Joe Scott didn't do it as a head coach. Bill Carmody didn't go to Princeton. Pete Carril didn't go to Princeton.
Jerry, you needed me.
I know.
And I'm like you. Like, I didn't know. You're the one who gives me information.
And I went back to Butch Van Vredekoff, but Princeton hadn't made the NCAA tournament yet. But anyway, so yeah, Mitch.
I've gotten so many nice emails from a lot of those men's alums who played even before women were here, about the game, about the style, grace, and grit which we play with. I just appreciate I appreciate that basketball fans, true basketball fans, really love our product because we work hard for it.
Actually, what I was looking up was somebody who had been in the NCAA tournament as a player from an Ivy League school, an assistant coach at an Ivy League school, and a head coach at an Ivy League school. That's why I didn't find those guys before. And then I
got
took it. Then when I went back on the women's side, I realized none of those people had done it even as a player and a head coach. And
there's so the confusion. I love it how much it's bothering you.
I would have gotten Mitch eventually. And I think there's probably somebody from Penn who might have done it. But I don't think Craig Littlepage. Yeah, I think actually Craig Littlepage. He went to Penn, right? Craig Littlepage played at Penn. And I'm pretty sure he must have played in like 3 NCAA tournaments. He definitely coached in at least one. So Craig Littlepage will put up there too, and I'll look up and make sure there's no others. But anyway, I mean, those kinds of things become things that you look at later on that don't preoccupy you in the week for when mm-hmm. you're playing a game. But I mean, you know, if you have 2 seconds to think about it, what do you think about that, you know, 12 of the 27 times the Ivy League has been representing the NCAA tournament, you've been part of it.
Yeah.
You know, Princeton's program now has played the NCAA tournament more than any other women's team or
that's the part
10 years.
That's the part. I don't know. Maybe the 8 and 10 years, I think sustained excellence, as you said in one of your blogs, just that we keep rolling over our roster and we keep finding a way. And people who watched the game on Saturday saw how hard it is. It's not easy to win, and it's not easy to win any college basketball game, much less a final. But the 8 and 10, too, that's amazing. And then, of course, the fact that now Princeton has the most. Of course, now that I'm wearing Princeton gear, that's something I'm really proud of, considering – when I took the job, that was I had 2 goals. I wanted to bring Princeton to the NCAA tournament.
Once.
And just bring them there. And then 2, I wanted to really rally our alumni base around this really cool thing that is Princeton basketball. And I think we've done both things.
So one last question. You think if Penn had won that game, Princeton would have gotten an at-large bid?
I heard at the press conference that we were one of the debatable 8.
Yeah,
our RPI was good. Our strength of schedule was good. I never want to leave it in the hands of that. But the fact that we got an 11 seed shows the respect that they have for it. So maybe.
That's pretty good. So it's 11-seeded Princeton, 6-seeded Kentucky. That's 11 a.m. tip. Does mm-hmm. that bother you, 11 a.m.? Never play an 11 a.m. game?
Don't care.
Don't care. 11 a.m., that game is televised nationally, but it depends where you are because mm-hmm. All these games are regional. So if you're in Kentucky and you're in New Jersey, you'll definitely be able to see it. And 11 a.m., it might be in a lot of other markets. If not, you can always see it online. But Princeton and Penn playing in Raleigh, North Carolina. If you're down there, you want to go.
No, not Princeton and Penn. It's Princeton and Kentucky.
Sorry, Princeton and Kentucky.
Penn's done. Penn's in the NIT.
Yes. Princeton and Kentucky playing in the NCAA tournament in Raleigh, North Carolina, Saturday, 11 o'clock. Good luck.
Thanks so much.
And we'll be back next week to talk about that and see how the NCAA tournament goes and if, you know, Princeton could maybe get a win.
Heck yeah.
See what happens.
Yeah, we're already scouting NC State too. Yeah, of course.
Okay, so we'll see where Princeton is a week from now. We'll definitely be back at least one more time next week.
Look forward to it.
And congratulations again on the tournament championship and on moving on to the NCAAs.
I appreciate it.
For Princeton head coach Courtney Bankhart, I'm Jerry Price. Thank you for being here as you are each week on the Court Report. And thank you for your continued support of Princeton women's basketball. Oh.